This morning, it's a powerful truth. In fact, I call this morning's passage a little bit of the deeper truths, a little bit deeper stuff. It's things that we need to understand. And what we're going to see, once again, as we look at this, we'll see salvation is by faith apart from works. But we're also going to see, we're going to talk about our union with Jesus Christ. Do you understand that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life? What does that mean? We're going to talk about it. We're in union with Him. And when He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He rose to a new life, we rose to a new life. And so we're going to see that. In fact, at the very last, this last section of chapter 2 is really a preview for the rest of the book. And let me show you what I mean. In chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, He deals with the gospel, which is going to be more in chapters 3 and 4. And then in verses 19 through 21, He deals with the Christian life, which is more is going to be in chapters 5 and 6. So there's a lot there, and we'll see it not only in this week, but as the weeks to come. Well, let me start with this question. What does it mean to be born again? For many of you who are older, like me, you can remember that when Jimmy Carter was the president of the United States, he talked about being a born-again Christian. Now, some people would make fun of him by saying that because being born again, all Christians are born again. To say I'm a born-again Christian is like saying I'm a Christian. But what does it mean? In John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The word again in the Greek actually is a word called ana, and it means above or again. It can mean either thing. So when we say you must be born again, you could say you must be born from above. You must be born again. We know that we come into this world and we're born once physically, but we need to be born again spiritually. We come into this world, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are made alive. It's a great truth, and it talks about the aspect of being dead and then alive in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and we become new people. At the end of chapter 2, Paul is going to bring out this aspect of the fact that we died and rose again with Christ. It is a great truth as we think about our union in Christ that we died and rose again with Him. And I'll explain it to you as we go through it. It is an incredible section from the Bible, and it ties in with Romans chapter 6. Now, many people, when you think of Romans, you always think of Romans 8:28, and you think of Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 3, and 6:23. But in Romans chapter 6, there's some incredible truths about our union with Christ and our death and resurrection with Christ. And that's how we actually live the Christian life. And so Galatians 2:20, which we're going to look at this morning, actually ties into Romans chapter 6. And we'll see it as we go through this morning. For the past few weeks, we saw that Paul has been confronting Peter. It didn't take him 2 weeks to confront Peter. It took us 2 weeks to study it. But he stood right up in front to Peter in front of everybody there and basically confronted him because Peter wasn't clear on what the gospel is. How is one saved? How does one live? Is it by the law or is it by faith? Is salvation by keeping the law or is it by faith? Is the Christian life by keeping the law or is it by faith? And we saw Paul publicly confronted Peter. Some Jews had come to Antioch and Peter had been eating with Gentiles. And when these Jewish Christians came, Peter got up and quit eating with the Gentiles. And what he was actually saying is, well, maybe the Gentiles aren't quite as good as we are. He even implied maybe since Gentiles aren't keeping the law, maybe they're not even what they're supposed to be. And so there's confusion. Is salvation by faith or is it by the law? And is the Christian life by faith or is it by the law? And so we see Paul confronted Peter. If you look at verse 14, this is his confrontation. He says this, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, Cephas in this passage is Peter. I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like Gentiles and not like Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Paul basically said this. I saw that they weren't living right, that they weren't doing the right thing, that they weren't being honest. He said about the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is this, that salvation is a gift by faith alone. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're saved the same way. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you live the Christian life the same way. And it's not laws. And remember, I told you that at the very beginning of the church, and this is where we are in the early years of the church, there were a lot of people, a lot of Jewish people said, does a Gentile, do they get saved just by faith? Or do they need to come under Mosaic law in some way? And we know the answer to that is no, everybody's saved by faith. You don't come under Mosaic law to be saved. But there were people going around saying that, especially the Judaizers. And so when Peter did that, Paul said, wait a minute. We've got to deal with this. Look what he says again. When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, to Cephas, in the presence of all, if you being a Jew live like Gentiles and not like Jews, how is it you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Here's what he said. If we're not under the law for salvation of a Christian life, why are you trying to force the Gentiles to come under the law? And that would be like coming to us and saying, listen, Jesus died for you and paid for your sins and everything, and so you can trust in him as Savior, but in order to really be saved, you need to go back to the principles and the Mosaic law, those 613 commandments. And the way you live the Christian life is you got to keep all those rules and rituals. That's what they were saying to people. And we know that salvation is not that way at all. There was confusion. Is salvation by faith or is it by law? Is Christian life by faith or is it by law? And, you know, we have the same thing today. We have people saying, look, you're saved by faith and. They don't really want to say it that way. You're saved by faith, but you need to, but you need to walk down an aisle. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to get baptized. You make him Lord of your life. You'd be willing to do this. You need to serve him. If you don't serve him, you're not really saved. I mean, they just got thing after thing after thing that they put on people. And so is salvation by faith or by law? And is the Christian life, is it a walk of faith or is it a bunch of rules? And so Paul said to Peter, if we're free and not under the Mosaic law, which they weren't, he said, why are we trying to get the Gentiles to do that? And then he gives one of the greatest verses in the Bible, which is verse 16. We saw it last week. I want you to see it again. Look what he says. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified, declared righteous by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Why? Since by the works of the law, no flesh, no person could be justified. So he starts off by saying this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Listen, you're not justified by law. You're not justified by works. You're not justified by being good. Justified means to be declared right before God. All of us are sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. We're all going to be separated from God. But Jesus came and took our place, died and rose again, and he offers the gift of eternal life. You get eternal life and righteousness by faith. And God says, it's not your goodness, your works, being good, trying to do anything. You're not justified by works. You're justified by faith. And I hope and pray that every one of us in this room, that you understand that, that you're not getting to God by what you're trying to do, what you have done, or what you ever will do. You come to God by faith alone and Christ alone. Jesus died to bring the just. Died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And so we're not justified by the works of the law. In fact, if you said, how many works? I mean, I'm going to try to do good to get to heaven. And that's what I thought. But here's the problem. If you ever do one wrong, you failed. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, if any man tries to keep the law yet offends it in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. Notice what he says. You're not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. It's always the same way. It's always by faith. You go back to Abraham, Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Every one of us in this room understand that salvation is a gift by faith in Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his son that whosoever believes will never perish but have eternal life. Ephesians 2:8-9, it's by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So Paul says, knowing we're not justified, declared right before God by works, but by faith in Christ. Then he says, even we have believed in Christ Jesus. He's talking about us Jews. He said, we Jews, we have believed in Christ, so we'd be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Why? Because works of the law, nobody's justified. You can't keep the law. Just there's a great truth. The law cannot save us. The law shows we're a sinner. The law doesn't save people. The law says you broke it. And we go, that's right, I broke it. Now what? Well, you got to keep it. Well, I can't keep it. That's why the law can't save us. We're only saved by faith. Now, Paul goes on, and that's why verse 18, look what he says. He says, if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. He's basically saying, if I go back under the law, if I put myself back under a law, if I rebuild what I once destroyed, in other words, I quit trying to be come to God by the law, if I go back to the law, I prove myself to be a transgressor. It's true. that if you put yourself under a law system, it shows that you're a sinner. If you go back to law, if you go to the rules, if you just said, let's take the Ten Commandments. Let's just take the top Ten Commandments. If you look at the top Ten Commandments and you look at them and put yourself under them, you've broken them. And you prove that you're a sinner. That's what the law does. The law shows you that you're a sinner. In fact, the law does not save. The law shows that we need a Savior. So Paul says, if I go back under law, if I rebuild what I once destroyed, put myself back under a law system, I show myself to be a sinner, to be a transgressor. But then he says this, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. What does he mean by that? He says that when I looked at the law and I saw that it showed me as a sinner, the law showed me that. What I did is I died to the law. In other words, I quit depending on the law to save me. He said, I died to the law so that I might live to God. The truth is this. When we saw law, when we saw that we're sinners, when we saw that we can't measure up, we have to say the law cannot save me. So we, in a sense, we die to the law by saying, I'm going to quit trying that the law would save me. Most of you know my testimony. I trusted Christ when I was 19. But before I trusted Christ in that Bible study, I believed that if you did more good than bad, you'd go to heaven. I was dependent on works and a law to save me. I said all these things, and I said, okay, I'm going to try to do this. But I recognized that I was a sinner too. I looked at the law and I said, you know, I can't keep that and I can't keep that, but I'm trying to do good. I didn't know that the law couldn't save me. And when I found out that one sin, the wages of sin is what? What is it? It's death. One sin eliminated me. When I found that out, I said, I can't use the law to save me. And they told me how Jesus died for me and paid for my sins. And if I would trust in him, I would have eternal life. So I died to the law, quit trusting the law to save me, and I trusted Jesus Christ. See, the law can't save us. The law shows us that we need a Savior. So when Paul says, for through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. Here's the great truth. When we look at the law and see that we're sinners, then we trust Christ. In a sense, we die to the law because we no longer need the law. You're going to see in the scripture, and we're going to show you in several, when we get a little further in the book of Galatians, that the law actually shows us that we're sinners. The law actually points us to Christ. In fact, the truth is, when you trust in Jesus Christ, according to Romans 6:14, that we're no longer under law, but grace. In fact, it says, Christ is the end of the law to all who believe, because the law has fulfilled its purpose. And notice what he says. I, through the law, died to the law so that what? I might live to God. Live to God means live for God and not the law. And so I don't know if there's some of you in this room who are thinking that you're going to try to get to God in some way by trying to be good or trying to live the best life you can, saying, I'm going to try to measure up. You can't do it. The law is not to save you. The law says you need a Savior. You can't keep the law. We have to come to Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about. Then, now because of this whole issue about salvation and about this whole issue of how do you live the Christian life, because not only is it salvation, but it's Christian life, because that's what Peter was doing by stopping to eat, stop eating with the Gentiles. Suddenly it looked like, well, how are you supposed to live? What are you supposed to do? I want to show you something. How do we live for God and not the law? And it goes back to our union with Jesus Christ. I want to show you something. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says we were baptized into Christ. A lot of times when people see the word baptize, they think it means water baptism. The word baptize is the Greek word baptizo, which means to identify. It means to be in union with. It means to have a connection. We, by faith in Christ, are connected with Jesus Christ. And I want to show you something that you may have never seen before, and that's in the book of Romans, but I don't want you to turn there. I'm going to put the verses up here. Just look at this. I want you to see an incredible truth. When you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, here's Jesus, here's you. The moment you trusted Christ, God placed you in Christ. 50-something places in the New Testament it says, in Christ, in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. The moment you trusted in Jesus, you were placed in him. And the book of Romans says that when Jesus died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose to a new life, you rose to a new life. The bottom line is, based on your union with Christ, you have died and rose again to a new life. You want to see this? Listen to this. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Look what he says. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, that means to be in union, it means to be connected into Christ. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been connected into his death? You died with him. When Jesus died, you died. Literally, that idea is that we identify with him and we died with Christ. Do you remember what I said a while ago? When you die with him, then you were buried with him. Look what he goes on to say. Therefore, we have been buried with him through his identification into death. We die with Christ. We were buried with Christ. Look what it goes on to say. In order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised from the dead, guess what? We're raised from the dead. We died and rose with Christ to a new life. Every one of you in this room, the moment you trusted in Christ as Savior, you died with him, you were buried with him, you rose with him. That's why a brand new Christian, when somebody trusts in Christ and they say, I need to be baptized as my testimony, we take them out, we put them in water, and we go like this. And that's a picture of their death, their burial, and their resurrection because of their union with Jesus Christ. We died and rose again to a new life. Now, Galatians 2:20 says the same thing. Look at Galatians 2. Look at verse 20. Look what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ is in us. And the life which I now live, we're resurrected. We died with him. Now we live with him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, how do I live it? I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Look what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. You die with Christ. Every one of us have been crucified with Christ. By the way, the way it's written in the language in the Greek, it's called a perfect tense, which means a past action with continuing results. You have died with Christ. And then he says, I died with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. But it's no longer I who live. It's not just me, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live, this life, look, it's a new life. It's not my old self, but it's a new life. This life that I now live, I died and rose again to a new life. And then he says, and the life which I now live, I live by faith in Christ. You understand that salvation is by faith in Christ. You understand that the Christian life is by faith in Christ. It's a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. What they were telling these Galatians, you have to keep the law to be saved. You have to keep the law to live the Christian life. Paul says it's not the law to be saved, and it's not the law to live the Christian life. I know many Christians who have trusted Christ as Savior. They understood salvation was by faith, but they thought the Christian life was a set of rules. And they have legalistic rules that you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. They think that's living the Christian life. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, that I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in Jesus Christ. I died with Christ. I rose again to a new life, and it is by faith. Look at Romans 6:11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. You died, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You died, and you're alive in Jesus Christ. We were crucified with Christ. We died with him. We were buried with him. We rose with him to a new life. And Colossians 2 says, as you receive Christ Jesus by faith, walk in him. Just as salvation is by faith, the Christian life is also by faith, a walk of faith. Are you ready for this? Look at Romans 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you were also made to die to the law. Remember what Paul said? I died to the law. I quit depending on the law. We died to the law through the body of Christ. We got connected with Jesus. That we might be joined to another. That's Jesus. To him who was what? raised from the dead. We raised with him that we might bear fruit for God. We might live the Christian life. Every one of us in this room who know Christ, we died with him, we were buried with him, we rose with him to a new life. I want you to see the end of verse 20 because it's powerful. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. I have. I died with him. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He's in me. It's a new life. And the life which I now live, this resurrected life, because I died and was buried and rose again with him, I live this life by faith. Faith in the Son of God who did two things. Look what he did. Who loved me and gave himself up for me. He loved me. 1 John 4:9, and this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his Son to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. He loved us with an everlasting, unconditional love. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. He loves us with an unconditional, unchanging love. So I live by faith in the Son of God who did what? He loved me, and then he gave himself for me. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. He died for us. We're supposed to die. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We're supposed to be separated from God. Jesus said, I will die in their place. I will come and take JB's place. I will come and take your place. He died for us, the just for the unjust. Why? To bring us to God. That's his plan, to bring us to God. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love toward us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He's our substitute. He took our place. You know, when you're playing sports or something and you're in the game, you don't necessarily want to come out of the game unless you get hurt or something. Normally, you're in there and here comes somebody coming in to take your place and you're going, oh, I don't want to come out. But this person is your substitute. They came and took your place. Now, in this situation, we owe God death. We're supposed to die and be separated from God. We're saying, please give us a substitute, right? And Jesus said, I'm coming. And he came and he died and he paid for sin. He rose again. He loved us and he gave himself up for us. Wow. So what do we see? That we died with Christ. We're identified in his death. We rose to a new life. Christ in me. We're born again. We're a new person. And so by faith, we live the Christian life. Now, sometimes people say, but you got to give people rules. You got to give people rules. Because if you don't have a law, how's people going to live? Well, I want you to understand that two truths are concerning the law. First of all, Christian life is not lived by the law, but by a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. He didn't say keep the laws. He didn't say keep the rules. He said walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not lived by law, but by walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the second thing. The law never stopped sin. In fact, the law showed sin. And we're going to see later on that the law caused sin. Remember we talked last time? Kind of a funny thing. We said that if you give somebody a law and a rule, the naturalness of the flesh says, don't tell me what to do. Speed limit 65, I'm going to drive 66. Don't look through this hole, I'm going to look through this hole. The bottom line is law makes you sin. So giving people rules does not make them holy and righteous. You're holy and righteous when you walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look how he ends this section because he puts it all together. And he says, I do not nullify the grace of God. How? Because if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died needlessly. He said, I don't nullify the grace of God. You know how you nullify grace? Put yourself under law. Anytime you put yourself under law, you move away from grace. Anytime you say, I'm going to do all these rules, you've moved away from the grace of God. And they can't go together. Hebrews 11:6, if it is grace, it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. How many works do you have to cancel out grace? Just one. He says, I don't nullify the grace of God. See, if righteousness comes through the law, if you could get to God by the law, then you didn't need Christ to die. Think about it. If you could be right with God by your works, Jesus came for nothing. We could say, hey, thanks for dying on the cross, but I don't really need you because I'm trying to get to God by being good. And if I'm just good enough, I can make it. You can't get to God by being good. If you could, then Jesus came for nothing. And that's what Paul says. He cried, died needlessly. Righteousness comes by faith, not our works. Galatians 2:16, that's salvation. Galatians 2:20, that's Christian life, all by faith. We've seen that salvation is by faith in Christ and not the law. Not only is salvation by faith, but the Christian life is by faith. And law system nullifies grace. So let me give you some applications just to think about. Make sure, and we've talked about this one before, make sure you're clear on the good news message. It is good news, not good works. We're not telling people to work. We're telling people to believe. We got a message that Jesus died and rose again, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life. That is our message. It is a message of faith. We're called grace people. This is called a grace church. We say that people are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Make sure that you do not nullify the grace of God by adding works to it. Second, understand that law nullifies grace. It always does. Always does. They don't exist together, and they can't exist together. Anytime you put yourself under a law system, you leave the grace system. The law shows sin, the law causes sin, and the law points us to Christ. That's why he gave the law. We're going to see it later on. We're going to see it when we get to chapter 3 and chapter 4. He's going to tell, why in the world did he put the law there? The law was our tutor. The law was our teacher. The law pointed us to Christ because the law can't save us. And last but not least, as a new creation in Christ, that's who you are. We died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We live the Christian life by faith. We died and rose to a new life. Christ lives in us, and this life is by faith. I hope every one of us in this room realize that we're saved by faith. We live the Christian life by faith. And look what this thing says here. It says, we live by faith in the Son of God who did what? He loved us and gave himself for us. It's getting close to Thanksgiving. If you want to just thank God for something, say thank you so much for Jesus Christ loving me and dying for me so that I can have eternal life, so that I can die and rise again with Christ to a new life. May we realize that both salvation and Christian life are by faith, and that we died and rose again to a new life. May we realize that law nullifies the grace of God. Let's pray.